This episode of Silly Talk is brought to you by Trojan Condoms. Trojan Condoms, your only choice for anal adventures. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. We don't give names because names just aren't important. The socials linked down below is my LinkedIn profile and my Tinder. Swipe right on me and send me a DM. I swipe right on literally everybody, so the chances of us matching are pretty high. You know, for this episode, I figured we'd get right into it. And you know what? I think the season is starting to get to me a little bit, you know? I think that winter is pretty shit. And I'll be the one. You know what? And I'll make that controversial opinion. It kind of sucks, and the cold kind of sucks, and it kind of does the opposite of making me depressed, in which I get a little bit mad. You know, and I just think I think at the end of the day, really, winter is just not all that. And today was one of those days. Today was one of those days where it kind of got to me just a little bit. You know, I was a little bit pent up, and I figured, what do I do? What do I do with all this emotion that's just sitting there, right? Like, how do I best handle this? And so I smoked in a school zone. You know, I waited until the kids were coming out, and I waited till the parents were stepping out of their cars to get their kids, and I started smoking. And I smoked probably for longer than I should have, and they saw it. And I think a few kids may have already gotten addicted to it, but I felt good, and it felt good to get that out, you know? And I think that brings us to the very first point of this episode, which is, how do you give up smoking when it's so cool? You're kind of giving up being cool if you stop doing drugs and alcohol, and I think smoking. I think it is the coolest thing you can do, really, in a lot of ways, is just slowly deteriorating your health and possibly your mental state for the benefit of just being fucking sick. And I think that's the one thing that they don't want to talk about in an AA meeting, or they don't want to talk about in a drug rehabilitation program, is that, okay, if you want to improve your day-to-day life and your overall well-being and extend your health span, you're kind of gay and you're kind of a dork. And I think that we try to convince ourselves that it is the better method, right? It's like, I want to be around for the next 30 to 40 years, but also at the downside of, I'm not going to be as cool as I am right now, you know? And I think, honestly, if we were going to, you know what, honestly, I think if I was going to continue smoking, it might only be in places that is frowned upon. And I don't mean indoors, because nobody wants that. You know, and it's not cool. You know what? That's another hill to die on. Smoking indoors is kind of lame. For very specific occasions, it is okay. But I think for the most part, cigarettes especially. Cigarettes indoors is just kind of sad and gives off a very, I want to say, low-class vibe. I feel like people that are in a very low tax bracket will probably smoke indoors. But I think that people who are in a higher tax bracket will smoke something better indoors, you know? And that could be crystal meth, which I guess could also be in a lower tax bracket. I guess my point is what I'm going to start doing now, I think, is I liked the school zone atmosphere for smoking. And I might take it a step further, and I might do senior centers next. And that might be the next move, I think. You know, because they, unlike children, have already sort of lived their life. And they probably want to relive some glory days. And I figure that would bring a lot of people back to what they used to be. So I think that's the next step. You know, and on that note too, you know, we have superstores, right? We probably have super schools, you know? I think that's called a university. But why don't we have super senior centers? Right? Throw them all into one place. Throw them all into one spot and just have them go for it. You know? Don't help them. Don't give them any sort of aid. Sort of make it a, I want to say a Hunger Games situation where they fight for resources and maybe the will to live just together, and they form tribes, you know. I feel like it might get segregated like prison. Like it might, they might, there might be, you know, senior gangs, which I think would be the worst gang to be, to either join or to get mugged by. I don't think anybody would like that. You know what? I'll throw another thing on there. I'll throw the third hill to die on tonight already, which is I would join a senior citizen gang. And I don't really know what my role would be. I'd like to say an enforcer, because I don't think they could do so much enforcing. I think that seniors would be really good at handling logistics. I think they'd be very good at a lot of behind-the-scenes work. I think that would flow really, really well for a number of old people, maybe past the age of, like, you know, 70. You know, I don't know if I'd want a guy like that. Maybe a war veteran. Maybe that guy could also be an enforcer, but from a distance. You know, give him something that he can do probably outside of 50 feet, and anything closer than that, I could handle that sort of business. You know, I had a thought the other day about what my role would be in an apocalyptic scenario. And I think all of us want to be a leader to some degree. I think all of us want to lead a small community. But I think that I would like to be the guy that's going out there, maybe on his own, maybe with like one or two other people, and we're kind of just rucking it together. You know, and everyone has a vote. Our small little group, aside from the group, is kind of like, you know, people look at us and they go, those are the guys who are funding this operation. And there's this quiet respect, but I don't tell anybody what to do. You know, I'm sort of just in the town hall meeting with the other survivors, and they look to you and they say, you know what, that's the guy who's pulling the stuff in. And I don't want to tell him what to do, but he knows what to do. But I have a quiet respect for him, you know? And I think a quiet respect is better than a loud respect, right? Nobody wants to say, hey, I respect that guy. It's sort of a subtle head nod that you give to one another, and you say, you know what? You kind of hear it without, it's sort of, what do you call that? I don't think it's called telepathy, but what is it called when, you know, you say something without words and the other person understands what you're saying and they say, you know what? Yeah. I get it, you know, but no, today was an aggressive day. It's one of those days where I think you want to fall back on, you want to go through a hard time and become a stronger person because of it. I think that sometimes you have to give yourself a hard time so that you can be stronger. If there aren't hard times present, you make a hard time. And I think we're in a hard time, you know, and the outside doesn't help either. I think that what it really comes down to is I just can't ride my bicycle. I miss that. I mean, you could in the winter, but if I'm buying winter tires, look, here's a fun little tidbit. I bought winter tires. I have winter tires for a car. I wouldn't want to buy winter tires for anything else, which I guess really isn't that many things, but a bike would fall into that category. I don't want to be the guy who's buying winter tires for his bicycle. You know? That's a little bit silly, right? Just walk. It's probably going the same pace anyway. How fast can you really go on a bike in the winter? You know? I want to feel special when I'm going that fast. I don't want to go... Dude, I don't think there's anything worse than riding a bike kind of slow. Because just walk. At that point, you know? And even this, now I'm, you know, I'm in the car, which is not, it doesn't feel good to sit in the car for this long. And it's hot in the car. But if I turn things off, then it gets cold. So I can't even sit down comfortably. I have to add layers to the situation already. First, there's the layers on my body. There are the physical layers. And then there's the layer of heat for the comfort. And still my feet are cold. You know? I think I might just remove them, honestly. If I was to amputate, I think one part of my body would be my feet. Because I don't know if anybody has seen this. Have you seen what they have for the Paralympics? And they have those sort of like forks on their feet that they use for the runners. Which at that point isn't even Paralympics anymore. That's like an augment. That's like if I, You know what that would be like? That's like if I cut off my hands, and then replacing my hands were two steel, like, robot, maybe not robotic, because I don't think they're robotic forks. But it's like if I had, it's like if I had hands that still worked as hands that maybe weren't robotic, but the closest thing you could get to that. And I said, you know what, now I'm going to box a guy. I think that's an unfair advantage. I think that you go faster on the forks than with your legs and your feet. So if I was to, you know, and to be fair too, if I had prosthetics, you could switch out the prosthetics. In the trunk of my car, I could have multiple different types for maybe different weather conditions or different scenarios, and I could switch between the two. And I could say, this is my walking fork. And then this is my running fork, and then this is maybe my snow fork, and this is my beach fork, and I use this to swim. These are, I guess those are just called flippers or fins, you know, for the aquatic aficionados amongst us. But I think that do you get what I'm saying? Like, why do we really need that? Why do we really need parts of our body at this point in the modern day? You know, why not just remove what we have and eliminate the weakness and augment it? You know, I'd be the first person for a trial membership if Tesla came out and they said, you know what, we actually have a Tesla branded leg and you have to be a subscriber to Tesla to get it. I would say, you know what, sign me up and put me first. And you know what, I will pay extra so that I'm first. I will have the trial package. I don't even know if it works yet. I don't know if you know if it works. I'll be your guinea pig, but let me in it. Let me try, you know. And see what I can, let me see what I can do with this. And I think the next step, and this might be a little bit far-fetched for those, you know, maybe with the more imaginative that are listening to us can side with me on this, but sexual prosthetics. A cyber vagina? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I don't know if I'd, you know what, actually, I don't know, I you know what, and I should probably reiterate this. I don't know if I'd be in the camp of wanting it. I'd be more in the camp of wanting to be in it, which I guess is a robot. So I guess the real question here that I'm presenting to everybody is, would we have sex with a robot? And I think it would be pretty sweet. I think I would. It's sort of like all the benefits minus the negatives. If I could only have sex with a cybernetic android for the next 30 years, and it's so similar to a person that you wouldn't even notice, aside from the fact that maybe it's cold, like maybe you have to warm it up, sort of like, you know, when you leave like something, what's a good example? Like something metal, like it's like touching a cold doorknob in the middle of winter, which we've already established sucks, right? It would be kind of like that. I'd be like, okay, I want to have cyber sex. And I accidentally left my android outside in the cold. And I just can't wait. It's been a while. It's been 2 weeks. Maybe it was on a work trip and I'm coming back and I go, oh my God, I can't wait to get home and have sex with the cyber, with the robot that I have sitting in my garage. And I pull it out and I go, oh, I forgot to leave the warmer on. And now the cyber vagina is cold. And I would still get in it because I think you would warm it up over time, right? And I think these are things that people don't want to talk about. I think that these are some of the hard pressed issues that we are not yet ready to go over as a collective. And that's okay because I will be the one to lead the charge, you know? And I keep, and you know what, this is a very different tangent, but you ever sort of think about how we have to connect sentences with another sentence with a word in between? I keep doing it. It's, you know, which is, you know, for short. And I don't mean to. I think it's the, you know what it is? It's sort of like when people are on stage, and this is a good example. This is like if you're doing stand-up comedy, right? You have to have a sort of lull in the moment where you can sort of regain composure. Excuse me again. And you sort of have this moment where you do a thing, and it buys you time to figure out another thought. Maybe for almost a more improvisational tone, like maybe if it's something that's more loose, you have to find the thing that goes in between. And I don't think you get to pick that. There's just a thing that your brain wires in between to fill it. And you know what? Speaking of fun facts, here's one. I found this out the other day. So you know when people get... So there's tinnitus, which nobody likes. I don't have it personally, but I think I would like to try it out for a day to see if it's as bad as people say it is. I think that you could learn to live with it. I think that it actually could even be a superpower over time, where you could learn to tune, you could tune people out with tinnitus. If I was in a meeting and somebody that I liked or somebody that I didn't like was speaking, I would just say, you know what? Thank God I have this tinnitus, because now I can't hear them, you know, or even a hearing aid. Like, let's say, for example, your hearing was going and you could just turn off the hearing aid. And you could just say, I actually don't want to be a part of this conversation right now, but I'm still present. I'm still technically here. So you can't get mad at me and you couldn't fire me, but I'm turning off my hearing aid and I'm just existing. I'm just here with you and I'm alone with my thoughts. And then when it's my turn to talk, or if somebody comes up and I say, you know what? I think that guy actually would have a really good point of view. Then I would turn on the hearing aid again and I would stop being deaf. But the fun little fact that I heard is you actually, so in your ear, in your inner ear canal, you have these little tiny micro hairs, these little tiny hairs floating around in the mucous membrane, and they basically pick up the audio around you. They pick up the sound waves that are going, sound happens, it travels into your ear, and I'm sorry, we're talking science now. But these little micro hairs, they pick up that audio wave, they pick up that sound wave, and they transmit the information to your brain, and your brain digests it. Your brain makes sense of what it is. But that tinnitus, what that is, or what that ringing is in your ear that you occasionally get once in a while, is your micro hairs firing all at once. So they produce this sound that's not even, it's not an outside source of noise, it's something completely internal. How crazy is that? That the body just does that. You know, the body literally glitches. It's a glitch. Sort of like, what is it? Myocardia, you know, where you have the heart rate that sort of shoots up or shoots down. It's sort of like that, but you hear it. Which, case in point, goes back to what we're talking about, which is, why do we need the body? I think the body, at the end of the day, it slows us down. There is so much upkeep and so much regulation that we have to do in and out, day in and day out, and I don't want that. Take my brain, take every part of me, and swap it for something else. Take it and put it into, you know what, dude? Put me in a car. Put my brain in a car, and I'll drive around all day. And then I'll say, you know what? I'm done with driving for now. I've gotten to experience what it is to be a car. Put me in something else. Put me in a computer. I'll be a computer for a day. And I won't even write the code. There's no code if I'm in the computer. It's just my thoughts, you know, and I think it and it happens. Which is kind of funny that we already don't have that. What is the point of writing code if I could just put my brain into a machine and think the thoughts of what we need to do? And it just works. And this might be what we're aiming for. This might be what the goal is in the future, really. You know, not even a sort of cyberpunk where it's a part of me, but it is just us fully. It is just not even maybe the Futurama thing, but it's just us sitting around thinking of what we want to happen and it happens. And I think we'd be so much better for that. Or it would probably be sexual. It would either be sexual or we would kill ourselves. You know what I mean? And there I did it again. And that was the sort of segue as my brain thinks of something else to say. You know, I think this is a very good example of what happens when, you know what it is? Sometimes I think a lot of the time, honestly, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't think there's any control over what the thoughts I have are going to be. And I think you're lying to yourself if you say that you can. I don't think there's any control that you have over the thoughts that you have, really. You can maybe control how long a thought lasts or how long that it feels. But I think at the end of the day, it is just purely static noise, like a TV. And I can maybe be like, I want to give this more time than the other thought, or I want to give this thought all the time, you know? And it's not very good. I don't know. You know, this is a segue, I think is what it's called, to a different thought. But I think I have a crush on my teacher. Or maybe I just have a crush on older women in general. I've started to bite that bullet. There's something about a woman who is a bit established and who sort of looks a certain way, and they have let go of the chains of the self that you have when you're younger. You know what I mean? There is a certain comfort that I think you find as you age in your body, in your skin, in your being. And a lot of older women have that. And I think it's whatever my age is times two is what it's going to be. So we're looking at people in their 50s. And I think that's what's doing it for me. I would say not even maybe 50, but maybe 40. I think 40 is the golden age of pussy. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. But I never understood that for a long time. You know, when I was younger, I never really thought that way. Maybe you did. Maybe it was sort of like this almost fantasy that you would have. And you would say, oh, wow, you know, that mom is hot. Right? Like, there's a thing that that mom has that's just hot. And I think that right now it's getting worse. I think now it's like that when I was younger, but now it's getting worse. And I think it's something that I have to do. And as the year is coming to a close and we're looking to what we want to accomplish and what we'd like to aim for in a new year and with all the time that we have coming up, I think the biggest revolution of the coming year is to bed an older woman. And I don't really know how to go about doing that. Because is it the same? Is it the same as having someone your age or a year or two younger? Is it the same thing as that? Are you doing the same things? Are you saying the same things? Do you have to put on more of a facade, or can you be freer? And I want to say the option is to be freer. I think that's what they like. I think that's what they'd know. And I think I would like to be with someone who has a kid. And not because I want to be a sort of stepfather figure to this child, or maybe because I want to raise the child in my own image. But I think it's because it offers something a little bit sexy. You know? Maybe I want her to sort of give me a bit of that motherly, you know, what's the word for it? Like, maybe there's a certain thing that a woman has when they've been a mom for like a while. And not like an old mom where it's like the kid's like 14, where it's like a 3-year-old, you know? And they kind of have like that fun mom energy, that fun mom vibe. I think that's what I want. And I don't know if I'd marry a woman like that. I don't know if I'd want to be with a woman like that for more than maybe a week. But I think that 1 week that I would get would be fucking awesome. I think that'd be a good one. And I think that's one of the goals to work towards. I think that's something that I want to aim for, is how do I position myself and my body and prepare my mind and my mental state to encounter a young mom with a child and bed her. You know, and I did it again. And that was me saying the thing again to segue my thoughts. And that's where we're at, you know. You know, sometimes I think about what can and can't I say, you know, because this is potentially public. And there are no names because names aren't important and we don't give names. And I might be a stranger, even though I have my LinkedIn and my Tinder profile that is attached to these for social media to encounter the general public. But now people know of that. Now people might say, hey, you're the guy that I listen to who wants to fuck a mom. And I say, yes, that is me. And thank you for your support and for listening to this, but that's also true. And do you know anybody that fits the bill? You know what? I actually just had a thought. What if the person that I'm thinking of right now that I would like to be with is listening to this show and is listening to this podcast? And you know what? And I'll tell you something. If you are that person right now, you can skip the Tinder and you can skip the LinkedIn. I will provide my email and you can send me an email and we'll do something of that. And I think that's the next step. I think that's the goal. You know what? I never knew what the goal was with doing this. And I think that I just figured it out on episode 2. And that's a good place to start because we got it figured out early. Which is to use this to my advantage to meet older women. and they know a little bit about me too. You know, I kind of had, you know what, and I think that's what it is, you know, having that encounter with someone who's a bit older. I've had that a few times in my life. And it's a sort of, and you know, I'll tell you something. There was a job I had back in the day, and there was an older woman who worked there, probably within her 40s, I would say. And I had the biggest crush on her. Because it was the way that she talked and the way that she acted to me. And it was unlike anything that I've ever encountered in my life up until that point. And I didn't know what to do with it. You know, I wanted to, you know what, and I'll tell you something, I've never really had this with people. I think that's something, you know, very similar. You know how penguins, when they're trying to court a mate, they bring rocks? I think we do that. I think when there is something that, when there's someone that we like, we buy them things, like the penguins, or like an otter. A lot of them is rocks in the animal kingdom. In real life, it could be what anything, it could be, you know, it could be a rock. But I don't think a lot of people would appreciate that unless they're autistic, which, you know, more power to them. But it's sort of funny how that mirrors. And I wanted to buy her things. And I would imagine us going out on these dates that were so high class, because I thought, you know what? I can't take out an older woman like I take out a woman my age or someone a little bit younger. I feel like there's an element of class that you have to provide to that. And what can I do that's classy? You know, it inspires me to go, okay, I don't want the cheap option. I want the expensive option for her, you know, so that she thinks of me as something else. And maybe that's what I really am, but I just haven't figured it out myself yet. And she would help me get there. My point being is I miss her. Maybe miss is a strong word, but I do think about her sometimes and I wonder where she is right now. And I wonder what things could have been like if maybe I gave her the equivalent of a rock. You know? And buying gifts is weird too, now that you really think about it. Do you like buying them or receiving them more? I think most people say, is it cocky to say that you like getting them more than you like receiving? And that's, and hey man, and there's a joke in there and I won't make it. But I'll tell you this much, if, for those of you listening, I do like giving more than I like receiving. But if I was to be getting a present, I think I would fall into the category like everybody else, which is it's more fun to give a thing than to get a thing. And why is that? I find it fun. I think it's a fun little thing to do for somebody, especially if it's somebody that you like. You know, and that could be any kind of person, really, I think. But someone that you like and you go, you know what, I'm going to get a thing personally for you. That I know that you'll enjoy because I know you, right? And I guess a better question too is, what is a gift that you could buy something for anybody that they always like? And I think the first answer is socks. I think everybody likes socks and we all need them. You know, this is a different thought too. I was actually just thinking about this right now. So, you know how sometimes, so, you know, and this is on the subject of buying stuff the other day. So I was in a store. We don't have to give names because names aren't important, right? But I was in a store and I saw sexual shit that was also edible. Which on paper is still a crazy concept. In reality, it's even crazier. The fact that you're combining two things of pleasure, but then also making it sexual. But I was thinking about this. Imagine that everything you have in the bedroom is edible. And could you theoretically, excuse me, get full off of edible sexual shit? Could I go into the bedroom and I'm just like, oh my God, this candy underwear is so good. And then she gets another pair on and you eat that. And you just keep, and you eat it. And then you're like, oh my God, I want to eat something off you. And that's so good. And then put the candy underwear back on. And oh my God, oh, this is so fucking good. And then she's like, what else do you want to do? And you say, babe, I'm stuffed. I ate so much off of you and out of you that I can't do anything else right now. And I don't know if I want to. I think I just want to go to bed. you know, or maybe it's earlier in the day and you're like, I just ate 13 pairs of candy underwear and I ate whipped cream off your legs and I ate a bagel off your fucking butt cheeks. And I'm just so fucking stuffed right now that I need to just close my eyes for an for an hour. You know, is that hot? And I guess, would that even be something? And no, you can, you know, and putting a pin in that thought for now, would the older woman be into that? Would the old, or is the older that you get, do you become more open to weird sexual shit? And maybe that involves the butt, you know, and shout out to our sponsor today of this podcast of Trojan Condoms, you know. But that's the thing is, would you be willing to do more outlandish sexual things with an older person? Because that gap of vanilla, I feel like extends, you know what, or possibly it closes, right? Because the vanilla becomes the mundane becomes the fucked up. You know, and maybe that is the case. Maybe whoever's out there listening to this right now, maybe you're like that. And maybe you go, you know what? Actually, candy underwear is my go-to. I get full and then I have sex. Sponsored by Trojan Condoms. But maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's the other perk too. Because I think we've all been with somebody and you're like, can we try this thing? And they go, I don't know. I've never done it before. It's a little bit scary. It's always scary trying new things. That's what I say. I say, baby, it's okay. It's a little bit scary for everybody. Hell, I'm scared. But you know what? I think by the end of this, like two soldiers in war bonding through trauma, we will both be stronger and our bond will be stronger. And I think that's something that I would like to say just to all the listeners of this show is, do things that scare you sexually. Maybe that involves eating. Maybe that involves people a bit older than you. Maybe that involves something a little bit threatening. You know? All I'm saying is I think just try it. And you know what? And leave a comment. And get back to me and say, you know what? This is... Let me know what you do. Let's make it, you know what? Let's make it a game. The next episode, I will tell you all something I did sexually that scared me. And you write in and you say the same thing. And you say, you know what? You know, my boyfriend or whoever, we were listening to the show together. We're longtime listeners of the show. And we heard your episode about eating. And we got so fucking full in the bedroom, and it was the best sex ever. And it's a little bit scary having sex in a full stomach because you don't know what's going to happen, but we did it because of you. And I would say awesome, and I would tell you my own story, you know. And I think we'll leave it at that. I think we'll wrap up this episode leaving it on that tangent, because now my feet are cold and I would like to warm up. Follow me on LinkedIn. Swipe right on Tinder, and there's a fucking guarantee that I have swiped back on that, and send me an email. I will link my email down, and let's get back to each other on this. Let's put a pin in this, and we'll pick it up for the next episode. Everybody, take care, and fuck the winter, and smoke. If you smoke, smoke in school zones or at a senior center, and if you don't smoke, then now is your time to start. End it there.